It has been said that there are only two sure things in life, and that's death and taxes. That's actually not correct. We can live in this life, and because of financial reasons, become so destitute that we don't have to pay taxes. But the fact of the matter is this, that death is going to take place. We see in Hebrews, the 9th chapter, verse 27, I want to use the first part of that passage in the opening of this lesson. And as it is appointed unto men, once to die. There's a fact that is stated there. And some may say, well, there'll be those that won't die at the end of time because Christ comes back, but yet there is the putting off of that body. There is a separation that takes place. There is a death that takes place. The surety is that there is death in this physical life. That's not an accident, that sound. That was 1 minute into this lesson. And what we've been told, whenever we look at the statistics that are put out by the CDC, is that each day in the United States, this is just the United States, 8,152 people die each day. We take that on down to an hour, and that's 340 people. They die every hour. 1 minute into the lesson that I started, 6 people in the United States died. Who were they? Was it a loving grandparent that died, surrounded by a family, holding their hand, with tears in their eyes, fond memories of the past, that the family realizes that that's all that they're going to have because life slipped away? 6 more people just died. Who were they? Was it a police officer that walked up to a vehicle to tell the driver, your stoplight is not working on the right-hand side, and the driver pulls a gun and shoots him dead? Was it a person that was innocently walking down the street, as we have witnessed in the past 2 days or so, that was killed by somebody that ran them over? 12 people died since this lesson began. And each time that ding goes off, 6 more people die. Who were they? Someone that has now realized that the life that they lived here upon this earth was not for the right reason, because they are standing in the presence of God. And now, instead of in time, 6 more people just died, by the way. Now that time is no longer, they are faced with eternity. It happens. All those situations happen. And that is a fact. We look at what happens whenever that 1 minute ding goes off each time. First of all, we see in Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter, verse 19 through 21, for what happens to the sons of men also happens to animals. One thing befalls them. As one dies, so dies the other. Surely they all have one breath. Man has no advantage over the animals, for all is vanity. All go to one place. All are from the dust, and all return to the dust. Who knows the spirit of the sons of men which goes upward, and the spirit of the animal which goes downward to the earth? And then he says in the 12th chapter, in verse 7, then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it, to the eternal judge, as it is appointed unto men once to die. And we think about this. It is our lot. It's not a fate, something that we can get out of. We'll see that in just a little bit. It is our lot as human beings. As a matter of fact, whenever you think about it and put it in the most clinical sense, the instant that we are born, we begin to die. The instant we are conceived, we begin to die. And that whenever that conception takes place and that soul is in that little body that is inside the matrix of the mother, and in its state is dying, because it's every minute, it's one less minute that they're going to live, that which is inside that mother will be facing at some point eternity. It goes from an existence of time to an existence of eternity. And it's so very important that we live our life. It's a short period of time here upon this earth. But that we live our life in such a way that we look to eternity. And we need to recognize this. We think about when death happens, there are two outcomes. In all the lives of men, there are only two outcomes to death. We see in Luke 16, chapter verse 22, the first part of that verse. So it was when the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. We recognize this as the account, I believe, not the parable, but the account of the rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus being a beggar didn't mean that that gave him a shoe into heaven. He found his way into heaven, which is described here for the Jews, and which we come to an understanding of heaven. He found that because he was a believer in God and a follower of God. He had made choice in his life. We're not told about his life other than it was a miserable existence while he was here upon this earth as far as the physical condition was concerned. Begging at the rich man's gate, not able to protect himself, the dogs come and licks his sores. He's not helped in any way. He is forgotten by humanity and forgotten by this next man, as we see in the latter part of verse 22, going down through verse 23. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torment in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Here we have the two choices. And there's no standing before a judge as we think about it today. There is no God in a long robe with a gavel in his hand and asking us, what case do you make for yourself? Because we make our case each and every day in this life. That's the reason that Peter speaks of the trial of our faith. Our life is the trial. And when this life is over, when this existence for us is over, as it is appointed unto men once to die, whenever it is over, we receive the reckoning. We receive the sentence. It's not about our pleading to God. We see the pleading that's here in Luke the 16th chapter with the rich man. Father Abraham, send over Lazarus that he may dip his fingers in water and come here and cool my tongue. Two words that I believe are the two greatest words of sorrow was spoken then by Abraham in this account to this rich man. Son, remember. Because that's all that you have. There is no relief. There is fixed between us this great gulf where that you that are there cannot come to us and we that are here cannot go to you. It is fixed. It is immediate after death that we find ourselves before God and we find ourselves in either paradise with Him or in hell, separate from Him. That's what happens after death. And the two outcomes are in our power to choose. And that is interesting. It's not our power to cause our salvation, but it is in our power to choose salvation. We don't have to have that end that rich man had where he lift up his eyes immediately whenever time was no more and he is then in the grips of eternity. All he has was, son, remember. But the two outcomes are within our power to choose. As it was for Israel, as we see in Deuteronomy 30 verses 11 through 19, Moses speaking to the children of Israel, he says, for this commandment which I command you today, and he's speaking for God, is not too mysterious for you, nor is it too far off. It is not in heaven that you should say who will ascend into heaven to bring us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it. Nor is beyond the sea that you should say who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very near you in your mouth and in your heart that you may do it. Evidently the attitude that the Jews had at this time was, well, doing the Lord's will is just, it would take something supernatural in order to be pleasing unto God and to do His will. And God is saying that is not so. The words that I gave you for your instruction, for you to make choice, is within your power. And He says this, for see, I've set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways and to keep His commandments, His statutes, His judgments. that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you possess. There's the power of choice for choosing life, eternal life, with God. But if you, in your heart, turn away from that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I will announce to you today that you are sure that you will surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land, and you shall not cross over Jordan to go in and possess it. I call heaven and earth as witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. It's been a choice going all the way back to the beginning of time, the choice to either live or to die. The only ones that the surety of as it is appointed unto men once to die did not apply was Adam and Eve at the beginning. And yet that changed because of this very thing that was told by God through Moses to the children of Israel. They did not keep God's commandments. The same thing is true for us, the two outcomes. When we look, and this is a quote that Paul uses from Deuteronomy where we just read, and he puts it so that we understand the application in our lives under the new covenant, under Christ today. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does those things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, and who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. And the same application is true here. Don't say that it is too hard, that God has made it too hard to be obedient to Him, to be pleasing to Him. Don't say that. But what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. There's no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the Lord is same over all and is rich upon all those that call upon Him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's choice to be made. And this loving God that we have, even though as is appointed unto men once to die, never had the intent of this earth being the final destination of paradise and glory for man, but rather it was always to be temporary. And that existence, when you think about it, the very short few years that we live. You go back to Methuselah. 969 years he lived. The oldest man that ever lived as far as the record is concerned. Put that beside eternity. Can't compare. Put that beside the 5,000 to 6,000 years ago that he lived, that has passed now since he died. Very short period of time. We can make choice. There are those two outcomes. We also see that there's no opting out of choosing. There's no third alternative in this. That as is appointed unto men once to die, that is absolutely true, and that there is choice to be made, either choosing heaven or choosing hell. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 9 through 14. Moreover, because the preacher, the debater, which is probably more accurate, the debater was wise, he still taught the people knowledge, yet he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The debater sought to find acceptable words, and that which was written was upright words of truth. And he was taught that by God, the Holy Spirit. The words of the wise are like goads, and the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. We talked about a standard in our class this morning as Warren led that class. We have a standard before God. That's what he's speaking of right here. The words are like goads and well-driven nails, and they come from one source, one shepherd. That's the words that we have in God's Word. And further, my son, be admonished of these, of making many books there is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh. He's not downplaying education whatsoever. But much as we read this morning in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, beginning in verse 18, the wisdom of the wise versus the true wisdom that is from God. And the wisdom of man doesn't get you. to the point where you can make choice to live. So he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. That's the very reason we are here upon this earth. The very existence that we have. And every minute that passes by just in the United States. And I'll tell you more than that, Di, because as I looked at the numbers that were given by the CDC, they don't account for the aborted babies. They don't account for that. So these are just the ones that the government recognizes as human beings. God recognizes all. And then he says, for God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. There is a choice to make. And that's the very thing that he is speaking of here. He then says, or our thoughts then go to this. There is no opting out of death. We can't say to God, God, you know, I'm going to pass on that one. I'm just going to pass on death. There's no doing that. As is appointed unto men once to die, and then there is also no opting out of judgment. But after this, the judgment. He says in verse 28 of the Hebrews, the 9th chapter, Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for Him, He will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. We had a discussion in class some time ago about the noise that will take place and so forth. And the question was asked with the elements melting with fervent heat and that great noise and the great wind and so forth that we see in 2 Peter the 3rd chapter. Will it cause fear in the Christian when that takes place? We're not given the answer. I'll give you my thoughts. No. Because the one that is truly a Christian has been looking for and hastening into the coming of the day of the Lord. But I will tell you, everyone else that hears that shout, that hears then the sound of the destruction of the universe, they are fearful, and rightfully so. Because they realize now that time that they had is up, it's over, and now destiny is set. Just as Abraham told the rich man, it's not possible for you to come over here or for us to go to you. There's a great gulf that is fixed. Can't do it. And neither can we say when we pass from this life, well, I accept my judgment. But I know of others back on earth and I don't want them to come. And that was exactly the thought of the rich man in connection with his five brothers back on earth. Send Lazarus back from the dead that he may warn them not to come to this place. He may warn them to serve God, to look at God's will and to be pleasing unto God, because all the life of riches that I had, clothed in purple and fine linen, doesn't compare to the degradation, sorrow, and pain that I will now experience for all eternity. Abraham, of course, answered him, said, even though one returned from the dead, they wouldn't believe him. He answered one more time, of course, in connection with that. But the reply came back, they have God's will before them. Moses and the prophets, we can put that as far as the scriptures today for us. We think about this, we really have a very short period of time. What's your choice? Sandy, come on up. What is your choice? Will you choose life or will you choose death? And it very well could be that you only have 1 minute to decide. Because since I started this, this is a 20-minute sermon. You are welcome. 120 people will have died. Every minute, six more. It doesn't stop. It continues on. When will your minute be? If there are those we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.